Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 148, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Jehovah, to my prayer give ear, nor hide thee from my cry. Attend my sad complaint and hear my restless moan and sigh, and what follows. Psalter 148, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 21, the verses 9 through 21. And afterwards from the canons of Dort, the fifth head of doctrine, which speaks of the perseverance of the saints, the articles 5 and 6. Genesis 21, the verses 9 through 21. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which he had borne unto him, unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of a son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Thus far the scripture reading. From the canons of Dort, the fifth head of doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, the articles 5 and 6. Article 5. By such enormous sins, however, they very highly offend God, incur a deadly guilt, grieve the Holy Spirit, interrupt the exercise of faith, very grievously wound their consciences, and sometimes lose the sense of God's favor for a time, until on their returning into the right way of serious repentance, the light of God's fatherly countenance again shines upon them. Article 6. But God, who was rich in mercy, according to his unchangeable purpose of election, does not wholly withdraw the Holy Spirit from his own people, even in their melancholy falls, nor suffers them to proceed so far as to lose the grace of adoption and forfeit the state of justification, or to commit the sin unto death, nor does he permit them to be totally deserted and to plunge themselves into everlasting destruction. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this holy Sabbath day in this afternoon hour, we attempt to open our unclean lips and as a people to draw nigh unto thy throne and to humbly ask of thee for a so necessary and yet a forfeited and an undeserved blessing. May it please thee to grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how poor our supplications and our thanksgiving is. Ah, by nature we have none, but wilt thou grant it in this afternoon. Then we read in thy word, and this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Ah, Lord, then it is the work of thy Spirit to make poor, that we are given to feel our poverty. But then it is also thy work to fill that poverty with thy riches. Ah, we have heard it out of the writings of our forefathers, that thou art so rich in mercy. Therefore, we may still come under thy word. Therefore, in thy faithfulness, even on this cold winter day, the sun may still shine in its beauty. Lord, we humbly ask thee in this afternoon hour, that thou may work lovingly, powerfully, irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. Ah, thou knowest how we have placed ourselves under the means of grace, when it is form and duty, 'tis according to thy holy word, and that shall not stand thee in the way. May it in this afternoon be the hour of thy sovereign good pleasure, for boys and girls, for our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones. Lord, that is the purpose, that thy word may be proclaimed, that thy church may be gathered in. Wilt thou then do it in this afternoon? And all may the prayers be multiplied to that end. Wilt thou grant those holy exercises and that storming at the throne of grace concerning the multitude of thy followers, and with a bowing under thy will. Ah, thou art that sovereign potter. Then thou art righteous when thou leavest us lie to perish eternally. But, oh, thou hast taught thy church to pray, thy kingdom come to that end, as that heavenly potter, may it please thee, to pick up ruined lumps of clay, and to place them upon the potter wheel of free and sovereign grace, and to make a beginning to form a vessel for thy honor and for thy glory. And, Lord, where thou hast begun, then what a work thou hast with thy people. Thou hast a people upon the earth where there are times that it becomes a wonder that they may still have a place upon that wheel, because each time they ruin everything and they are not a vessel that so reflects thy glory. Their soul can so cleave to the dust and to the things of the world, and that vessel can be so cold, it can be so lukewarm. But, Lord, thou hast promised to never forsake the work of thine own hands, and to that end, may it please thee in this afternoon to form those vessels a little more, and thou shalt not spare the flesh, that vessel may be given to reflect thy image. 'Tis only in beginning. Lord, wilt thou then grant a little instruction, a comfort and encouragement, also correction when it is needed. May thy children be administered out of thy fullness, and may they receive grace for grace, Lord. We live in such solemn and serious times, and we can speak about it, and there's much spoken about, but may it be more felt, the burden, the guilt, the sin. May it please thee to grant repentance unto thy church, and that we may be given to mightily cry unto thee, and that these ways may be used, that there may be a great ingathering. Lord, a grant and a revival amongst us and our children, and that it may be heard from the mouths of young and old, thy wonderful works which thou hast wrought in them. Lord, then we may still be as a Capernaum, blessed above most of the people upon the earth, but that also brings a great responsibility. Magnify then thy great and worthy name amongst us and our dear children. Then we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Remember the established churches, our theological school, the instructors, and the students in a special way. Remember him who may speak an edifying word, stand on his right and on his left, and may he be carried upon the wings of prayer, Lord. Bless thy word among Jew and Gentile. Wilt thou remember all mission work, our mission field? Wilt thou remember the persecuted church? Wilt thou remember the Western nations, who have also more and more become Gentile nations, where thy word formerly had such a large place, and where there has come such a great departure? Woe unto us that we have sinned. We are part of this nation. Lord, remember all the special needs and the special blessings. Then we remember the handicapped amongst us. And then in this day, then a handicapped daughter may remember, Lord, thou knowest her condition, her simplicity. But then she may commemorate that thou was spared in such a wonderful way. For 24 years has been in the hospital, oftentimes, times when it seemed that the end was near. And also in the past week, the week she was in the hospital, thou was wonderfully spared as she may return to her dwelling place, O Lord. And may it be for thy honor and for thy glory. O wilt thou remember her parents, her family, in these difficult times where there is a separation, where they may speak to one another, thou hast also upheld them all these years, till this very moment. Another young son hopes in this week to commemorate, to remember with his parents, that he may become 16 years old. Thou also knowest in his life that it is different. Also his thoughts shall multiply than also in the past year. Then thou hast also wonderfully spared him, where he has also come in an accident, but thou hast put thy hand between him and death. May it also be for a purpose, Lord. Wilt thou grant him courage? Wilt thou grant him strength? And above all, be mindful of his never-dying soul. Remember all among the young that have difficulties of the body and of the mind. We commend them all unto thee. And wilt thou remember those who have become orphans or half-orphans? O Lord, wilt thou be a father and mother unto them? And when in our family circles, when there are no empty places, may we be given to stop, to pause, to consider what thou hast done, thy sparing and thy caring hand. Lord, then once more we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children to the grave. We also remember a young man, a boyfriend, who in the past months were displeased thee to take his dear girlfriend away by the cold hand of death, and who may come to dwell amongst us, O Lord. Wilt thou grant him a place amongst us with that empty place in his heart and in his life? May it be sanctified. Wilt thou uphold and remember other ones that are so overwhelmed and so distressed? Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted. Wilt thou remember the crosses and the burdens? Oh, it is all a fruit of sin, what we have done in paradise. And when we consider our transgressions, our iniquities, then should it not be a bewonderment that thou doth not afflict many more with greater afflictions, O Lord? That is thy long-suffering patience and thy goodness, that we may be given to turn unto thee. And, O Lord, thou knowest that thou can come with the greatest callings and judgments, and thou can bless us with the greatest goodness, but without the work of thy Spirit, that our heart shall never be turned and shall never be changed. And therefore, Lord, we humbly beg of thee, wilt thou take us by heart and by hand, do a great work. 'Tis the purpose that the world may still stand, because there is still room in the sheepfold of the Lord Jesus Christ also for us and our children. But, Lord, we need to be wrought upon here in the time. Do it in this afternoon. And where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant us further exercises. To that end, Lord, may our eyes be upon thee. We may begin each time that our help is in the name of the Lord. May our expectation truly be from thee alone. Wilt thou open the heavens, Open thy word, open our mouth, open our ears, and open our hearts through our deep fall. And by our actual transgressions, then we have closed and we close everything. But, Lord, when thou openeth, then no man can shut. Be then a surprising God. Well, to grant a little instruction out of thy holy word. Well, to remember all the hearers in the church, in their dwelling places. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Grant then a good hour together. And pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 212, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. I held communion with my heart, by night recalled my song. And what follows, Psalter 212, the three stanzas. In this afternoon hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture we have read together, Genesis 21, the verses 9 through 21. And then we shall read the verses 15, 16, and 17. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Our text words speak of Hagar with Ishmael in the wilderness, with three thoughts in the first place, the sad reason for being in the wilderness. In the second place, the heart-rending distress in the wilderness. And in the third place, the answered prayer in the wilderness. Hagar with Ishmael in the wilderness. The reason, the sad reason for being in the wilderness. The heart-rending distress in the wilderness. And the answered prayer in the wilderness. Beloved congregation, we have seen on the last Lord's Day the miraculous and wonderful birth of Isaac unto Abram and unto Sarah. And so also the spiritual birth, that is such a wonderful work. And then for an Isaac, because I read in Matthew 18, verse 3, except thou become as a little child, thou cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus young and old, that is now necessary for us and our children. And have we now become a little child? And when a child is born, what do they do much, boys and girls? Then they cry when they are hungry and when they have pain. Then many times ask mothers, then it is not always so easy to put their child to sleep. And they wake up many a times during the night. What a beautiful picture of the work of the Lord. Because when the Lord begins and he impresses divine realities upon our heart and the light begins to shine in the darkness and we may be given to listen closely in the house of God, then it can also be on Sunday evening that we do not go so quickly to sleep, but that we resemble a little child that cries much because of their sin, because of their lost condition, and they are given to hunger and thirst. And of course, there is a difference also with the Lord's leading. Also with children, ask mothers. The one child may sleep better than another, but then many children, they also wake up during the night because of their need and their hunger. Is that strange to us, congregation? Or can we always sleep well? Can we always go to sleep, boys and girls, young people? Are there times when we are given to think of the Lord, of our soul, and of that one thing needful, that we are given to cry much, of course, then we try to keep it secret. Then when we wake up, then we do not tell everyone how it has went. But then we know that concern. Oh, then we are so busy with those divine realities. But now concerning, if you think Isaac, when he was a little child, then he has sat much on his mother's lap, and he has cried, and he was picked up, and he was fed. Oh, when the Lord begins, that is not strange to such a people. I even read before they call, I will answer. What a hunger they experience, answers upon their prayers. They are given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. But when they become a little older, then it becomes a little different. And now we have heard the last time that Abram has made a great feast with the weaning of Isaac. We have heard that was a very special time where the Lord is spared, where the Lord is cared, but where he had to be weaned off the mother's milk, and where he was called upon to be placed upon solid food. That was a feast of rejoicing, but then we have heard on such a weaning feast, then many times such a child would cry while everyone else was rejoicing. Oh, that little Isaac, he did not understand what was taking place, and he did not receive his wish. He has begged for his mother, but has not received the same. And so it is also, that is the way that the Lord deals with his people, that they must be weaned off their experiences, their feelings, their emotions cannot be missed, and that they must be placed upon strong meat. And what a blessing it is when those spiritual children may grow. I read of that little Samuel in 1 Samuel 2. He was taken to the tabernacle to help Eli, and that each year that his mother has made him a new coat, of course, boys and girls, a little bigger, because he grew. What an instruction. What a blessing. Oh, people of God, how long we can wear the same coat, and that we be so content that we are not led so further. And now concerning that weaning, oh, then those that have come to the feast, they had understanding of what was taking place. But that little Isaac, he did not understand, did not realize it, and undoubtedly he has cried much. And now spiritually, that is now the wisdom of the Lord. We have mentioned Psalm 36, verse 9, in thy light we shall see light. Because for those spiritual Isaacs, if they now fully understood what was taking place, do you know what would happen? Then such a one would rest in that weaning, and they would rest in their crying, and there would be no room for that strong meat, that bread of life, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it is a privilege and a blessing when the Lord grants light to his church, that they may be given to reflect upon what has taken place. And now with that weaning feast, how do you think it now went? Do you think that Abram, and especially Sarah, at that weaning feast, has now come with a loaf of bread immediately to Isaac and said, little Isaac, and now you must eat bread. No, then you can understand. Then that little Isaac would not take that bread because he desired milk. Ah, what a work that the Lord has with his people. A deep way, a cutting off work that they are cut off from everything. That room, oh, and Isaac, he had to become so hungry that eventually that he would be given to eat meat and that he would be given to eat bread. And now also for the child of God, in thy light we shall see light. And when the Lord grants light upon their pathway, then they are given to see that also with everything that they have experienced, that they have counted that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing, then it is so necessary that they learn not only the sin against the law, but also the sin against the gospel. Oh, what a blessing it is when there are those little Isaacs. Does not mean we have to be little, because when the Lord begins, even when we are 80 years old, then we become a little child, and then we shall experience what that little Isaac has experienced. Oh, before he was weaned, then he only had to give a squeak, and mother has come running and taken care of him. But now the church has to learn to live by faith. Thus, it was a great feast. It was a special feast. Oh, for a Sarah. Then she was given to laugh. We have heard that the last time. Then it was not a feast concerning an other child, but it was a feast concerning her own child. And now on that great feast, then there was something that has spoiled that feast. Because we read that as Sarah has seen it, that in Ishmael he was 14 years older, that he is mocked with Isaac on that feast of weaning. It's not a good thing, boys and girls. I hope that you do not tease, and especially when there is a great age difference, or when it concerns the way that the Lord has made us. That is a terrible thing. What a blessing. There's no perfection, but what a blessing it is when love may abound, that older brothers and sisters, that they may be a hand and a foot to one another. And now concerning Ishmael, before Isaac was born, and before Isaac was weaned, then we do not read, it is true. The Lord has said unto Hagar in Genesis 16 that he would be a wild man. But we do not really read in the scripture that an Ishmael was not such a bad boy. Undoubtedly, he has faithfully helped Abram. And I hope, young people, that you may be given, that you may give unto your parents much happiness and joy. It is true, you are conceived and born in sin. You are a fallen son and daughter of Adam. But I hope that you may be given, that you may grant unto your parents in the way of honoring them, obedience, respect for God's holy word, for his institutions, everything that pertains to the Lord, that you may have respect. But now we do not read that Ishmael, that he had much trouble with that boy before Isaac was born and before Isaac was weaned. It is possible because Hagar and Ishmael they have fully realized that one as Sarah was expecting, or maybe they even hoped, because what has man become through our deep fallen Adam, and we think of self, and we have become haters of our neighbor, that maybe secretly they have even hoped that an Isaac would never be born. But an Isaac was born. And now concerning Ishmael, then when Isaac was born, then of course he did not have a realization who an Ishmael was. And now that Ishmael, that is declared in Galatians 4, Paul has said it was an allegory. Then an Ishmael, that refers to the flesh and to the old man. But in Isaac, he was the child of promise. That is the work of the Spirit. And now concerning Isaac, then he was a little older before he had great trouble with that Ishmael. And now in the life of the people of God, if it may now happen on this Sabbath day, that the Lord would convert one of us. You ask for it, people. More. If that would now happen, that new birth, that wonderful work, and if we would now meet such a one a little later, and such a one would beginning to tell about that old and new man, then we would not be so happy. Because that is a lesson that the church learns to distinguish with those further leadings. Think of the epistle to the Romans, when the apostle Paul has spoken of that sanctification and that trouble with that old man. That is especially in Romans 7, and that comes after Romans 5, because if such a one at the beginning would be given to speak of those things, then they would be given to excuse themselves. But when the Lord works, then they learn that they are the sinner, they have no excuses. And also in that further way, then God's people, then they can speak of that old man, but without that sorrow, and even to excuse themselves. But what has a David now said in Psalm 51, after he had taken Bathsheba and killed Uriah? Did David then said, the old man has sinned against thee? No, then he has said, I have done that which is evil in thy sight. And now concerning Isaac, undoubtedly, then when Isaac was very small, and an Ishmael saw his brother Isaac, because then Hagar and Ishmael knew that the inheritance, the riches, the sons of concubines, they would receive gifts, but that the main inheritance, that was no longer for Ishmael, but that was for Isaac. And then it is possible, even when Isaac was very small, that an Ishmael has made strange faces or other mean things to his little brother Isaac, but that Isaac did not have understanding of those matters. But now at the weaning feast, then Isaac has received much trouble from his brother Ishmael. And now in the way of grace, when the Lord converts, then we have troubles that we never had trouble before. Because then there is that warfare between that old man and that Ishmael. that shall never be converted. Flesh, that remains flesh. And then that warfare, oh, the book of the Holy War by John Bunyan, that is a nice and an instructive book for us and our children to read and to receive much instruction. Thus a mocking Ishmael. He was mocking the promised child. Do we understand those things, congregation? Do we have trouble with that flesh, with the world, and with the devil? Oh, for an Isaac, how bitter that was. He was crying, did not receive milk, and then to be mocked by Ishmael. Maybe there is a soul that may say that is now my picture, or that has been my picture, my experience. No longer that milk, those special visits, those special answers, not as lively in the church. The Lord upholds his people. He does not let those Isaacs starve. But they come in great need, thus without that milk. And yet, not to have received the bread of life. We read that in the history of Ruth. The end of chapter 2, the barley harvest has come to an end. And yet she was a widow and no provision. Thus a feast of much gladness for the church. But for Isaac, oh, bitter weeping. He had such a desire for that milk. But now it was necessary that he would be placed on stronger meat, because the church must not remain a child, but he must become a soldier. And when we become older, then we cannot live just off milk. Then we need stronger meat. Thus a great feast, a great rejoicing, and a weeping Isaac. What a blessing in the church when there may be those weeping Isaacs and those that have been led a little further, when they may notice the further leadings, because we have said we live in a time that the child of God can keep the same coat even for many years, when those that have been led further and when they may notice that deeper uncovering, because the Lord makes room for the meritorial work of his dear Son, then they are filled with such rejoicing. And now, what a blessing it is, because Sarah was the mother of Isaac, and then Sarah may resemble the church, that the church may have a close eye on those Isaacs. Many times the church has to wait many years, sometime it can even be, that they are given to wonder whether they have really become a true Isaac, or whether it was common convictions, upbringing, or whatever it may be. But what a blessing when those Isaacs are weaned, with weeping and with supplication. Of course, we can understand there is a difference in that weeping and crying in the life of the children of God. When Isaac was a little baby, then he has only cried for milk and to be held by his mother. But now there would come a time when that milk wasn't held, that he needed strong meat. And now we read in our text words, in our chapter, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which he had borne unto Abram, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Then Sarah has saw Ishmael mocked, and that touched her deeply. That grieved her. And it is true, we do not read in this chapter, in 1 Peter, or with the New Testament, then we do not read that the apostles, that they have broadly spoken about the sins and the faults of the saints of the Old Testament. Because in 1 Peter 3 verse 6, then it is mentioned that Sarah has called Abram her Lord. But here in our chapter, she does not say, I pray thee. She is not kindly asked or advised, but she has become very bold. She was not on the proper place, although she has seen the great danger. She has seen that for an Ishmael and an Isaac to dwell together, that could not be. That would be very detrimental. Thus, she has spoken to Abram. We do not read here in this chapter that she has acknowledged Abram to be his head. Nevertheless, she has given good advice. Also instruction for husbands and wives. The husband is the head. But many times wives, they have better instinct than men. Thus men do well to indeed listen to their wives. They are the head, but yet to listen. And then we read, and the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of a son. An Abram for 14 years. Then Ishmael was his only son. Then they have worked together, spoken together. And now for a Sarah, and then she has said it not so nicely. She has said, cast out this bondwoman. She did not even say Hagar, but a bondwoman. And then we read, and the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of a son. And Abram did not want to cast out his son, to send him away. And now we have said that Ishmael, that is now a type of the flesh and of that old man. And how often also in the life of God's people that they spare their own flesh, that mortification of the old man, that is such a hard work in the Bible. It is called the crucifying. Paul has written to the Galatians. In Galatians 6 verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby I am crucified unto the world, and the world unto me. Also in the life of God's children, there can be such a sparing of that old man, of certain lust, of certain sins. The one is inclined to this sin, and another one to that sin. We hope to hear of those temptations in this evening hour, and that it is so grievous. But then that son of that bondwoman, he must be cast out. In the Bible, it is even called a cutting off of right hands, a plucking out of the eyes. And to that end, what a blessing it is when the Lord may give instruction. For in Abram, it was so grievous, and that he thought, how can I send? Because Ishmael was also a son, part of his flesh, to send him away. But what a privilege, when the Lord may grant instruction and give clarity. And God said unto Abram, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad. It is remarkable that the name Ishmael is not mentioned once in this chapter, because Ishmael can never inherit together with the promised child. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman and all that Sarah has said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That was the promised child. Thus, what a command and what an instruction for Abram, that the Lord has said, Abram, you must send Ishmael away. They cannot dwell together. What an instruction for the people of God concerning the mortification of the old man and the quickening of the new man. Are there a few souls that are still trying to keep an Ishmael? A certain sin, certain lust, in whatever way it is. But then the Lord says in our text that it must be done away with. Oh, it is true. Sanctification, that is only in part. We have learned it in catechism. And the child of God learns that it is so. Shall not be perfect till they take their last breath. And then we read, and Abram, he rose up early, did not wait a day, half a day, in obedience to the Lord. And then we read that he sent Ishmael away. Let us first sing. Psalter 164, 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste. And what follows? Psalter 164, the first three stanzas. Hagar with Ishmael in the wilderness. The reason for being in the wilderness, and now secondly, the heart-rending distress in the wilderness. And then congregation, when we read these histories, oh, there is beautiful spiritual instruction, and then we must always be on the guard that we do not overlook the historical instruction for us and our children. Then we have heard in Genesis 16 that Hagar has been caught in the midst of many a trial and many a trouble. The Lord in Genesis 2, the verses 18 through 25, then he has instituted marriage, one man for one woman. And then in the Old Testament, then more were tolerated, but never in the favor of the Lord. And what a trouble it has brought in the midst of the house of Abram and of Sarah. Oh, then it cannot be different that when an Isaac was born, and also with that feast of weaning, that Hagar, she was forgotten, that she was more or less forsaken, that she was not compassed with love and with compassion. And when we consider also that mocking Ishmael, then it is also necessary that we also stop to ask ourselves whether we are ever such a mocking Ishmael. And what do we mean, congregation? That we mock with the work of the Lord. And when we see our fellow man, when they have a close walk to this word, maybe walk different in the church. It should not be, of course, because we should all walk according to this word. But when the Lord works, then we receive a love and respect for this word. And then when our conscience begins to speak and we like to justify ourselves, that we also mock with our friends when they walk closer to the Bible than we do. May we be spared, and may we all be given to walk according to this word. And now the heart-rending distress in the wilderness was something for a Hagar. We read in Genesis 12 that Abram has went down into Egypt shortly after he has come in the land of Canaan. Thus, if we add it all together, then undoubtedly, then Hagar has dwelt more than 40 years under the roof, under the instruction, under the prayers of Abram. And now to be sent away, what bitter tears she must have wept, to be sent away under the protection, the provision, the care of Abram, to be sent into the wilderness. What a terrible thing it is, young people, if we willfully leave ourselves. It's an awful thing. Hope you never do that. Then the fruit shall be very bitter. And we can never expect the blessing of the Lord. Oh, remain in Capernaum and continually ask the Lord that you may become such a little Isaac, that you may be born again, that you may learn to hunger and thirst after the things of the Lord, because that crying and weeping, there's more joy therein than you shall ever find in the world. And now when Abram has sent Hagar with Ishmael, it is not recorded exactly how old. If Isaac would have been 3 years old when he was weaned, we do not know. Then an Ishmael would have been 17 years old. And then an Abram has sent him away. And then we read in verse 14, and Abram rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, put it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed. Then the question could arise, why did Abram not give unto Hagar and Ishmael more? Because to dwell in the wilderness, that is not an easy place to dwell. It is not all written in the Bible. Perhaps an Abram was planning to send more to follow. We do not know. Nevertheless, we read, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered. That word wandered in the original language in Hebrew can also mean to go astray. Oh, a Hagar wandering in the wilderness in Genesis 16. But then we read that the angel has found her by a fountain of water by Shur, that was close to Egypt. But now here she has wandered. She has not immediately went to Egypt. Wandering, perhaps going astray in the wilderness. And then we read, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. What a trial for Hagar and for Ishmael. They have realized that the bottle of water was becoming emptier. Undoubtedly, they have rationed themselves, and finally the bottle was empty. And Ishmael, as a growing boy, then it seemed that he was ready to succumb. And then a Hagar has placed him under a shrub, and she has went a distance away, and that she would not see her boy die. It's too unbearable. Sometime in the hospital, when parents take a child to the hospital, then the doctor asks the parents to leave, that they do not have to see the suffering of their child. Fathers and mothers can speak of those things, because if they would be present, it would be too much to bear. Thus, what distressful circumstances. In the wilderness, the water gone, death staring themselves in the face, and Isaac ready to perish. Is that not a beautiful type of the Church of God under different circumstances? I read in Hosea 2 verse 14 of the Church of Christ, I will allure her and lead her into the wilderness. And for a Hagar, she had a promise for her child. Read that in Genesis 16, that the Lord would bless him and that he would become a great nation. And now also for a Hagar, with that promise, and she was given to experience that her child, so heart-rending, to see her own flesh and blood lying at the point of death, so unbearable that she has went at a distance. Ah, the Lord has a people. We have sung it together out of Psalm 63. That is not a strange experience. for the true child of God. O God, thou art my God. Oh, that has become their desire because of the love of the Lord shed abroad in their heart and because the light they have received. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Oh, with a desire to behold the glory and the power of the Lord as in the days of old. Ah, then that church, under distressful circumstances, then they are given to remember, to meditate upon the days of old, the wonderful things which they have experienced, and now with everything they have experienced, that death stares them in the face, wandering in the way. Ah, then that church needs light. Thus a beautiful type, Hagar, of the church of God. And now has the Lord forgotten Hagar? That is our last thought. The answered prayer in the wilderness. And then we read, and she went and set her down over against him a good way off, a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. Oh, how a Hagar must have thought about the tent of Abram, all the blessings that she had received, that she has thought the former days were much better than now, and undoubtedly also Hagar's guilt. That Hagar and Ishmael have spoken together, and that Hagar said, my boy, now all the inheritance, all the cows and the sheep and the goats, the gold and the silver, that shall all become Isaac's. That's a Hagar. Ah, the church each time by renewal, they must come into guilt. And now she has sat down, helpless, hopeless, actually waiting for her child to die. And even with the promise that she has received from the angel of the Lord. And shall the Lord now forget her? No, then we read. And God heard the voice of the lad. We read in verse 16, and she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And is implied, of course, because we have heard it out of Genesis 18, the verses 17 through 19, that the Lord has said concerning Abram, for I know that he will instruct his household in the ways of the Lord. Thus that Hagar, she has received much instruction. When Abram has instructed his servants and household, then undoubtedly his immediate family, although it can be that there can be fathers in different places, that they give more instruction to their fellow man than their own family. All instruction in God's word. But that Hagar, how she has been instructed. Oh, that an Abram has said unto, told unto Hagar, the wonderful works of the Lord, how the Lord has called him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, the wonderful work those 40 years. Then she has experienced many wonderful things. And now in the wilderness, I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. Is there such a Hagar in my midst? When you were given to reflect upon all that you have experienced, if you deceive not yourself, all those times in the inner chamber, times in God's house, that the Lord has so dealt with wonderfully. and now in the wilderness, so barren, and maybe have to confess, not even thirsty. Church learns that that spiritual thirst that is a gift of the Spirit, virtue, the meritorial work of Christ, all in the beginning for those crying Isaacs. They thought, if I now become older, then it becomes better and better. But there comes a time in the life of that people, that they think back upon that crying. It was so real. It was so sincere. Such a hunger and such a thirst. Oh, that milk. And when they may be led further to receive light upon that bread of life. And now it can even be in the wilderness with a great need. And that people have to beg, Lord, wilt thou now give me a little thirst and a little desire? The church learns that it is all grace, that it all comes from above. And the church learns they are given to be wonder the goodness of the Lord, that he does not let them perish. Thus when we read that she has left up her voice and wept, then it is implied, cannot be different. She was taught to pray to the living God. Then she has yet begged whether the Lord would give deliverance, and now also encouragement for the unconverted. To specifically mentioned in our portion of Scripture, two times the voice of the lad, that the Lord has heard the same. Thus then it is implied that the Lord also hears the prayers of the unconverted. Thus our calling to pray much, and with all our needs, our cares, and our sins, that we are much at the throne of grace and given to us, that the Lord may grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Then by renewal her name has been mentioned. That also becomes a wonder for the child of God. People of God, how long has it been ago that your name has been mentioned? That was a message for you. What aileth thee, Hagar? That is a good question to ask yourself in this afternoon. What aileth thee, boys and girls, my young friends, the middle-aged, and the elderly ones? What aileth thee? What is now your answer? Oh, if we would go from bench to bench, then we would receive many answers. Oh, the mourning ones, the ones that have financial difficulties, other sickness, can multiply it out. Crosses, hidden crosses. Oh, then undoubtedly there would be those that you would say, if you now really knew what aileth me, my difficulties concerning this life. But would there also be souls, that would say, the favor of the Lord? Would there be those that say, my sins? Would there be those that say, seems that the Lord has taken everything away, as with that weaning of Isaac, what aileth thee? Or would there be a few souls that would say, oh, a new visit from the Lord, a new instruction. Oh, would there be those that say, a heart that may melt, that may be warmed, because my heart at the moment is colder than outside. Ah, the Lord has a people that are so dependent. Hagar, what aileth thee? Oh, would there be a few souls that would say in this afternoon, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, for that bread of life can be so hidden for the people of God, what aileth thee? Oh, maybe one would say, I need light, because so many riddles and so many perplexities. What aileth thee, Hagar? A personal question. That is what we need, congregation. It is such a personal matter. And then the Lord, he has been mindful of Hagar, ready to perish with an Ishmael and a fountain, a well so close by. O congregation, maybe there is one that says, I am ready to perish, dwelling in Capernaum under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who cleanses his people from all sin, and I am still perishing. Ah, then the Lord, he has revealed that fountain, that well, because we read that the angel has said, oh, fear not. That is the second fear not in the Bible. Do you remember where the first one was, congregation? The first fear not. Can you remember? Genesis 15, first verses, that an Abram was so troubled with the seed, then he has said, fear not, Abram. And this is the second fear not. What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. We must close. Then Hagar, she had precious work. Then she has brought her boy to that well of water. Maybe next time we can say a little more about that well of water. Water in the Bible, it is an emblem, a type of the work of the Lord, and the fountain of life that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what a beautiful and blessed work that Hagar was given to do, that she could pick up her boy or lead him to that well of water. It's a beautiful thought. Parents, mothers, what an important place you have in the home. May it be granted that the Lord may show unto mothers that well of water, and that they may be used with their instruction, with their example. No, we cannot convert our children, but the Lord uses means, and that mothers may be used to bring their children to that living well of waters that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in Zechariah 13, verse 1, that there is a fountain open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. May the Lord grant by His Spirit that thirst, that need for that fountain, the revelation of that fountain, and that the church by true saving faith, that they may drink from those everlasting waters. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to crown thy holy word with thy blessing. And may we be given to return to our homes. And that we may take that question with us. What aileth thee, Hagar? How wilt thou grant on the Sabbath day, Lord, our mouths can be so closed. But may there be spoken in the family circles of the works of the Lord and of that one thing needful. Oh, may there be those little Isaacs, those Isaacs that may be weaned that have much trouble with that Ishmael and the further leadings for thy church. And that is continually necessary. That each time by renewal, that thou worketh that thirst, and that they may be given to drink. Oh, Lord, teach us those spiritual lessons. Wilt thou remember in the furtherance of this day, remember man and beast in the winter weather, bring us under the means of grace by renewal, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 292, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. A wandering in the wilderness, far they roamed the desert way, found no settled dwelling place, were in peace secure to stay. And what follows, 292, 3, 4, and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.